Come on, I'm so pumped right now to get into this, and I'm excited to preach. This is going to be 2 weeks. We're going to hit it here, and we're going to hit it next Sunday, first Sunday of the year. Excited about this. You can turn to Psalm 23, please. We're going to get into that. I'm going to get into it. I just want to talk about just briefly about first fruits offering from a place in Proverbs 3. But I'm going to ask a question going into the message from Psalm 23. Man, I want to ask a question, and my tech team's ready to go with their liquid fingers, man. They're going to etch it out. But I'm going to ask you, like, do you remember when you were in like church and in Sunday school? Who's actually in Sunday school? Can I see a raise of hands? Right? You had Sunday school, and they were teaching you the great Sunday school stories that built great faith. That's why I love Kingdom Kids and the way that we teach and train Kingdom Kids and the way we look at what God is doing in Kingdom Kids. And we want to build up the faith of these young adults, these children, to walk in a place to believe that my God is all powerful and nothing is impossible with God, because they see and hear and make crafts and pray and go through lessons on these amazing Bible stories, these amazing Bible characters, and it reminds us that nothing's impossible for God. Like, who can remember that from Sunday school, right? You walked out of Sunday school going, oh, that was amazing, like, but where is that even for us as adults, that we don't miss the wonder and the awe and the amazement of God, who is all powerful, who is the same God yesterday, today, and forever? I mean, I'm going to ask you, like, what are, not yet, don't answer out loud yet, but what are some of your favorite Bible stories and your favorite Bible characters that you learned from Sunday school? And when you left Sunday school, you were like, oh, I can tackle the world. Like, you're just thinking, like, that's how great my God is. And I don't want to miss that. But I just want to talk about Proverbs 3 real quick and talk about first fruits, as this is just important as we believe in first, and first are so important. And we believe in Proverbs 3:9, and I love Proverbs 3:9, where it says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. What does it mean to honor the Lord? It means a level of respect and a level of honor. In the Hebrew, it actually means something that has great weight to it. When your honor has weight to it, there's depth to it. And there's this heavy, not in a dark heavy, but in a good, healthy weight of honor and respect. And the Bible says to honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And then there's a promise to this. When you understand there's a purpose and it's to honor God, and you understand the priority of this is that it's first. It's not last, it's first. And then there's a promise to this. Your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Man, I'm asking you to pray about this. If you're a part of Believer's Chapel family, if you're part of this family, you're part of our online family, and hopefully we're going to be able to open wide up and just have a huge invite and bring everybody back soon. We're hoping for that. But you walk in a place to pray, and this is a secondary offering. Usually the first of the year, we take two separate offerings. It's just something special. It's a great moment. But this is going to have to just kind of be on you to say, God, this is a separate offering. And there'll be something online for a secondary line, and there'll be something here for a secondary basket, just to really come to a place to say, God, you deserve my first. And I want you to pray about it. I want you to look at it and say, God, I want to honor you and give you the very first, and walk in a place to know that this year will be blessed. There's a promise to it, and I love that. So just that, sit, let that sit and come to a place to think on that and pray on that. And we come to a place to see the word today. And I believe this, man. We never forget. The word of God is alive and powerful. And I believe we walk in this place in person, and we love that you're here. You made a choice to be here. We celebrate you. We're pumped that you're with us. Hope we walk out different. We don't just play church here. We're not checking a box. I want you to come in and God would do something amazing in your spirit and in your soul, that you walk out going, woo, I'm ready. And you can look at 2020, and we can get all tongue-tied with 2020, and we can go into the crazy and the stupid of the crazy things that happened this past year, and we can walk into place just to be amazed at January 2020. We're raising our hands, and we're worshiping, and we're praying, and we're like, oh, God, this year belongs to you. Seek, this is amazing. We seek you tonight. This was January 2020, first Sunday of the month, giving God the whole year, and then all of a sudden, bang. but for those who understand seek. This is why seek is personal to me. Because I believe that we walk by faith and not by sight. I believe that I trust in an all-powerful, almighty God. I believe that when I prayed that night in January 2020, that I had no idea. Nobody had an idea of what this year was going to look like and the struggles of this year and the stupid of this year. And you walk into a place and say, but I gave you this on that Sunday and I believe that you heard me. And God, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. And I will not be afraid. Who can walk in a place to say when I was gave him that on that Sunday night, saying, God, I don't know what's about to happen. The good, bad, the ugly, the known and the unknown. It's not just statements. It's not just words that we say when you know the power and the reality of what it is to give God something. God, I trust you. 2020 has been one of those years that you're just crazy. It's been a crazy year, but I think it's even crazier to think, well, you know, on Thursday night at midnight, everything's going to change. No, I think we're going to be in it for 2021, and I think we're going to have to really walk in a place of trusting God and digging our heels and being aggressive and being strong and being bold and walk in a place to say, I will not be afraid, for I know who my God is. And I think, and even outside of the corona thing, I think one of the absolute, not speaking of corona, but one of the hardest things for me to see in America this year was, I think it's the dumbest idea in my history of an American, is to defund the police. That was a 2020 stupidity. And you walk into place as, and you got to see it. Don't be blind to this thing. It is the enemy. And you walk in a place where crime is on the rise in a sense of criminals are realizing there's no consequence to my criminal activity. They're letting real bad guys out of jail. And you walk in a place at the same time, criminals are getting worse. There's really, guess what? There's bad people out there. And when bad people know there's no consequences, bad people get worse. And at the same time of people and criminals getting worse, we're handcuffing the police to be able to do less. Does any of this make sense? And as a man who loves justice, I think this, and to see people actually back that was the worst part of it, is people actually got on that bandwagon and thought it was a great idea to defund and deactivate the police when crime is getting worse and bad guys are getting worse. It's like, how stupid can we become? How gullible can we become as a people? And honestly, I love that in a sense of coming back to a place to say, where have I put my focus? That I need to come back to a place and let 2021 be different for you. I'm not saying it's going to change in this world. The world is crazy, and we know biblically it's going to get worse. We got to be okay with that. But I'm going to be okay in me because I'm readjusting my focus, and I'm going to walk in a place that I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm going to trust in a God, and I'm going to walk in a place of being bold. I'm going to walk in a place of being aggressive for the truth of God's word and walk in a place to see God do an amazing work, because I do believe that nothing is impossible for God. I do believe that everything written in this book was for you and me today, and I do believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and there's nothing that God doesn't know, but he is looking for those who will have faith in him. Isn't it amazing that the word says, when I come back to earth, will I find faith on the earth? What does that say? And we walk in a place to get into this week and next week, and this message is called Even Though. Even Though. Even though the craziness of 2020, where have you set your sights? Where have you put your focus? Okay, come on, let's get into this. Let me ask you, right? Bible stories, some of your greatest Bible stories, that just the characters that you're like, oh, I love that guy, or I love that woman. Like, come on, someone just be vocal. Give me one. Who's your favorite Bible story?
The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
I love that, right? I love that, Gideon. Gideon's a no one from nowhere, right? Gideon's hiding in a wine press, and then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon, who we do believe that that was Jesus speaking to Gideon, Old Testament form of Jesus, comes to a place. They say, Gideon, I need you to lead the army. And Gideon's like, okay, I need you to lead an army that is, you're going to go up against 135,000. And the Lord brought Gideon's army down to 300. So you got 300 versus 135,000. 5,000, that's the odds of 1 to 450. And even though Gideon had 300, he had the faith to believe in the power of God that he could overcome 135,000. Amazing. Come on, give me another one. David and Goliath. I love it. David and Goliath. You walk in a place to understand where David said, even though no one else will fight this giant, even though I walk in this place to understand everybody's hiding behind a tree or behind a rock, even though this giant is huge and I'm just a young man, even though I know that God is for me and I'm going to take this giant's head. Come on, you walk in a place to look at Noah. You walk in a place to, we got a cruise here. You walk in a place to look at Noah who said, even though it never rained a drop, even though I have no idea what rain looks like, even though I don't know what rain is, I'm going to build a boat because God said, build a boat. And you walk in a place to see throughout Scripture these amazing Bible characters, and Elijah who said, even though it's me against 450 prophets of Baal, and he actually thought that he was the only one left, but yet there was more than 450 prophets of Baal. There was also the female prophets of Asherah. It was the female goddess that they worshiped, and it was Elijah against all of them. And then he said, all right, here's the real deal. We're going to test this. Fire from heaven. Whoever God brings fire from heaven, he's the real God. We'll worship him. So all the prophets of Baal are just going crazy. They're cutting themselves. They're calling out to their gods. And you could just see Elijah just kind of sitting back looking, okay, is your God on the toilet? That's the living version, right? Is he on the toilet? What's going on with him? Did he take a nap? Is he sleeping? And then Elijah gets up and says, my turn. God, wham, fire from heaven, even though it was him against everybody else. He had the faith to believe and a boldness and an aggression to walk in a place to say, my God, and if God is for me, who can be against me? You look at Peter, and you look at walking in a place of where Peter is walking on the water, yet he dropped into the water and he sank, but he had the faith to walk in a place. So even though the storm is going and I see it and the waves, even though I'm going to walk, well, I'm going to do what no man has ever done before, and I'm going to walk on water because I can see Jesus and he's right there. Even though Paul and Silas were in a prison, yet they were singing songs at midnight. And Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you have an even though from 2020? Do you have an even though that you've come to a place to say, even though I got this, or even though this took place, or even though I see this, or even though there's been financial distress, even though there's been sickness, even though there's this, you walk in a place to say, I have got to get myself back into a target to know that God, who God is. And even though I do walk through the valley of shadow of death, and that place is the darkest valley. It means a place that is the darkest valley. And I, please hear me, I love Psalm 23. Unfortunately, It's been a psalm that has been read at almost every funeral, and it's not about that type of death. And you walk in this place to realize it's a psalm of victory, and it's a psalm that brings calmness, and it's a psalm that brings this boldness and this aggression to know that if God is for me, who can be against me? If God is on my side, there's nothing impossible for God. And you walk in this place, church, we got to come back to a place to get in target with God Almighty to know that he is the shepherd and we are the sheep, and he will always take care of his sheep. And Psalm 23 is just one of them psalms. It's most likely, possibly, the second most famous passage in all of Scripture. You've got, of course, John 3:16. And even if you have an atheist neighbor who knows nothing about the Bible, would never own a Bible, if you said, the Lord is my shepherd, he probably could finish the sentence, I will not want. If you went into a place to look at Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he probably could be able to finish the sentence, I will fear no evil. And amazing that this has been in movies upon movies. This is in a place to understand from funeral to funeral. And it's probably one of the most famous passages in Scripture. And I would encourage you to get into it and read it. It's 6 verses. Read it and reread it and read it and reread it and meditate on it and just see, watch this, just see the shepherd's heart towards his sheep. And I believe this, when you understand Psalm 23, it truly will put you in a place to just want to worship him and be amazed by him. I love this because David was an actual shepherd. This is written by David, and he was actually a shepherd. In his younger life, he was a shepherd, and he understood what it means to shepherd sheep, and he understood. Listen, I love this because you read this, and you think, oh, fluffy sheep. How cute, how wonderful. Oh, their wool, and they're white, and they're so cute and cuddly. If you find a sheep, don't you just want to hug the sheep? Like, just so you know, this isn't a compliment to sheep. If you ask a real shepherd or if you study sheep, sheep are dumb animals. And isn't it amazing that the creator of the universe equates us to sheep? And the reality is this. This is the truth. A herd of sheep will not survive without a shepherd. They will not live long. They will find themselves upside down and they can't get back up and they'll die. They'll find themselves and they'll try to drink out of water that's raging. They'll go in the river and they'll die. True story. They will, if one goes over a cliff, you'll have the whole herd follow them thinking that's a great idea. True story. They're just dumb animals. They're just, again, Psalm 23, I love this because it demands that you and I have a need for Jesus. Jesus, I hunger for you. I need you. You are the good shepherd. John 10 says the good shepherd lays himself down for the sheep. The Bible talks about God is the great shepherd and Jesus is the shepherd. And understand the sacrifice that Jesus made for the sheep because we need him. We are completely 100% dependent upon him. And when you come to a place to say, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you come to a place to realize, I see David's story. I see Gideon's story. I see Ruth's story. I see Esther's story. Even though the king could have taken her head, she went in anyways for such a time as this. I see David's story. I see Paul and Silas's story. And you go over it and over it and over it and over it. And I see Elijah's story. And I love James 5:17. When you begin to try to put yourself in this story, you try to look at this and understand what this looks like. For Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. You know what that means? He was just like us. I love this verse. I love understanding what this looks like. Elijah, who called down fire from heaven. Elijah, who understood the reverence and the power and the fear of God. Elijah, who went against every other prophet of the day. Elijah, who said, my God against your God, and my God's going to win. He wasn't some superhero. When you understand just like them, I can have that faith. I can walk in a place to have the boldness. We need boldness today. I'm telling you, one of my themes for 2021 will be boldness for the church. Honestly, one of my themes for 2021, by the end of 2020, if the Lord would tarry and doesn't return, man, I want Believers Chapel to be a family that is bold, that is courageous, that is aggressive, and you come to a place to understand, I want to walk in a way that is no longer about what I can get, but it's everything and what can I give for my King. We have become a very selfish church, not as Believers Chapel, I'm talking about the church. It's more about us than it is about him. The church has fallen into a what have you done for me lately mentality. we're asking God for 200 kids in our children's ministry. We're asking God to move in such a way in our region that we have 200 kids every week in our children. We are building warriors over there, and we're building young men and women who walk in a place and say, it's not about me. It really is about him, and I hunger for him, and my desire is for him. And they're seeing and hearing these amazing Bible stories of these amazing characters, and they come across James 5:17, that Elijah was just like me. But he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he walked in the reverence of God, trusting and believing that God is exactly who he said he is, and that he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. And I walk in a place to live my life no longer for me, but for my King. And there is surrender in that, and there's power in that. Come on, look at this. Psalm 23 says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And amazing to understand the heart of a shepherd. The heart of the shepherd is always towards the sheep. Again, without the shepherd, the sheep will perish. Without a shepherd, the sheep will die. They'll flip over, they'll try to swim and drown, they'll jump over a cliff, they won't eat. This is how dumb sheep are. They will eat all the grass in one area and then never leave to the green pasture right over here. That's how dumb sheep are. Without a shepherd, sheep don't make it. And when you understand our Father and the shepherd's heart, you understand the love of God, and maybe, just maybe, you can come to a place to see why we worship the way we worship, why we celebrate God the way we celebrate God, why we thank him the way we thank him, why we're amazed by him, and we just want to love him and be in this place of being so hungry for Jesus. Can I ask you, like, come on, this is offshoot, but how much do you actually think on Jesus during the day? I hope it's not just Sunday mornings. I hope it's morning and then mid-morning and then afternoon and then mid-afternoon and then right before evening and then mid-evening and then late evening. And when you lay yourself down at bed, you're amazed at Jesus, and you wake up and your heart is towards Jesus, and you walk in this place to just be hungry for Christ and realize and understand, I can't make it without you. The Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. The NIV says he lacks nothing. Listen, this isn't your house with your three cars for the two of you. It's not your $1 million. It's the reality of there's nothing that I actually need compared to what I want. There's nothing that I need that I will lack. To know that God is a good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And for his sheep, his people, you will lack nothing. And then he goes into what we won't lack. Watch this. I love this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Isn't it amazing that he's got to steer the sheep over to better pastures? He's like, hey, I need you to come over here. The grass is eaten here. Yeah, but we want to stay here. No, you don't get it. If you stay here, you die. There's green pastures over here. I need to steer you. I am making you go this way. I don't want to go that way. Well, listen, stubborn Sean, move, because you got to move. You're a dumb sheep. Listen to the shepherd. Yeah, but I like it right here. You're going to die here. There's no, you got to move. Like, isn't it amazing? The Bible says he makes you, but isn't it us being stubborn going, ain't nobody going to make me do nothing? Then die. Because he's a good shepherd. And if you come to this place to honestly surrender to the shepherd, he makes you lie down in green pasture. He knows what's best for you. He knows where the green pasture is for you. The shepherd, I love this. I love when you study the shepherds, true shepherds, and you study true sheep, you can get a real good picture on this. You can get a real good picture on this. And you understand where the shepherd has already scoped out where the best pasture is next. He's already done the hiking. He's already gone out and looked. And amazing that God has already scoped it out for you. And then he says this. He says this. He makes you lie down in green pastures. And I love this. He leads me besides quiet waters. He leads me besides still waters. Yeah, I know if the waters move and the sheep go into the water, the sheep can't swim and they die. So he finds that restful place, and he finds those quiet waters, and he walks into a place to say, here, I love where he leads me. He leads me to quiet waters. And then I love this. It says here, verse 3, he restores my soul. See, you got to get this, because the shepherd knows the sheep who, and this is true about sheep, that when sheep come to this place to be sick, they do go belly up. And when a sheep goes on its backside, he can't get back up and the sheep will die. Isn't it amazing that our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and he will restore. Please hear this, man. This is from the inside out. He will restore my soul. He knows how to take that which is broken, and he knows how to fix it and restore it. And you take it. There are those here in the church that restore cars. And I've been in the garages of some of these cars that they'll take in. And when I'm looking at the car going, you paid what? You're going to do what with this? I'm like, oh, I'm going to restore this. I'm going to restore it to its original. And they work on it. And if you know anything about restoration, man, they take that which you and I would look at and say, throw that thing away. That is junk. That is broken. That is a mess. You can't fix that. And watch this. When someone knows how to restore something, they make it better than new. When you take a house that needs restoration, you go into that house. If you have the skill, I don't have the skill, but if you've got the skill to restore a house, what happens in a house that needs restoration? That means there wasn't any upkeep. Nobody really cared about the house. They didn't keep it day to day, and they let it just go to waste. Can I ask you how many people have let their souls just get depressed and let their souls go to a dangerous place and let their souls just kind of go to waste? And if you're honest, you come to a place to say, this has been a year that kind of broke my soul. Well, the good shepherd comes to a place to understand the brokenhearted, and he heals. Come on, church, I love it when we get the right biblical picture of who our God is and his love for the sheep. And when you know, I just need to depend on him. I don't need to depend on this. I don't need to depend on that. I got to take my eyes off of this. And I need to depend on my shepherd, because the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows exactly where I'm at. He knows my hurt. He knows my brokenness. He knows my pain. He knows exactly where I'm at. And if I would come to a place to trust in him, he will restore my soul. He will come in and he will bring restoration to the broken soul. He will bring restoration to the unkept soul. He will bring restoration to the soul who let all the weeds come in. He will come back to a place as a shepherd, because he loves his sheep, to restore your soul. And I love this. It says this. He guides me. He makes me. He leads me. He restores me. And he guides me in his righteousness. I love this. Watch this. He guides me in the path of righteousness, and it's for his name's sake. Watch this. When you walk in a place that when, you got to understand this, when the sheep look good and the sheep are healthy, it makes the shepherd look good. When someone's going to try to sell the sheep, if the sheep look bad, that's on the shepherd. If the sheep are unhealthy, you blame the shepherd. If the shepherd lost its herd, you blame the shepherd. But we have a good shepherd, and it is for his name's sake. You got to get this. This is what's so good about this. When you realize the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I love this. He makes me. He guides me. He restores me. He leads me. And it's for his glory. It's for his name's sake. And then you get into this verse 4, and this is where we close it out and we pick it up next week. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, and I don't know what your 2020 was. I don't know, despite all the crazy of this year. I don't know what tragedies you've gone through this year. I don't know where you're at right now, but you walk in a place to say, even though I walk through that darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Come on, church, what happens when you get this? What happens when something resonates in you to know God is my shepherd, I'm his sheep? And listen, when you understand the valley of the shadow of death, that is a very real location. That is a roadway, a stretch of road between Jerusalem and Jericho. It is a stretch of road that has these crazy cliffs. It is 104 degrees for many, 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 many months of the year. It is the place where thieves have the perfect hiding spots. It is a place where wolves or dangerous animals will hang out and just wait to attack. It's a real place. Your version may actually say the darkest valley. And I love where the psalmist says, even though I walk. What's he saying? Listen, when you understand this is a real location and there's a beginning to the darkest valley, watch this, and there is an exit to the darkest valley. You got David and he's saying, listen, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I love where this is a mindset of I will be bold and I will not be afraid and I will not quit and I will keep walking. I know that I'm in it now, but I know that I'm not going to stay here. I know that there's a beginning, but I also know that there's an end. I know that this is a season, and I know that God is my shepherd. He will see me through. And I love that he's speaking about a very real location and say, it is a stretch about this long, and there is a start, and there is a finish, and I know that I'm going to walk through. You know what that says? I'm not going to quit. Don't care how bad it gets. Don't care how dark it gets. No matter what shadow of the valley of death I'm walking through, I know that God is with me. He is for me. He will never leave me. He is my shepherd. He will make me, he will guide me, he will restore me, and that is who my God is. And I know that it's a season, and I will keep walking. So what happens when you look to close out 2020, you walk in a place, say, I just got to keep walking. I can't even promise you that 2021 is just going to be great. I can't promise you that. I can promise you this. And if you keep walking, man, I'm going to get into this next week, because even though I walk, watch this, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. And there is this thought to the spirit of man. Say, how is it that I can face the darkest valley and not be afraid? How is it that David could face Goliath? How is it that Elijah could face the prophets and call down fire from heaven? How is it that Gideon and his 300 could face the 135,000? How is it that Esther goes before the king? How is it that Ruth stays loyal to her mother-in-law after losing her husband? How, I mean, could just down Bible story after Bible story. How is it that Noah built an ark? How is it that I can walk through the valley of shadow of death and not have fear? Because the Bible says this, the shepherd himself says, I am with you. Can I just ask you, is that enough? Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough to know no matter what I face, I'm going to keep going? Well, how can you do that and not be afraid? Where does that boldness come from? How can you walk in a place in the face of your enemies? How can you walk in a place to know the enemy's taking his hits? How can you walk in a place to walk through that valley of darkness and not be afraid? How can you do that? Because I know this, that my shepherd, the great almighty God, says that he will be with me, and that's enough. I'm going to be okay. Because God Almighty is with me. Church, what happens when we grip this and we understand this and we grab this to realize everything that you will ever face, you will get through. How do you know that? Because he's with me. And I'm gonna be okay with that. And that's enough for me. That's enough for me to know. In tragedy, he's with me. In brokenness, he's with me. In death, he's with me. No matter what the world would throw at me, I'm okay because I'm walking by faith and I will not be afraid. How can you say that? Because he's with me. In church, is that not enough? What else are we looking for? What else are we waiting for? To know that our shepherd is with us. We got to finish this next week. Come on, if you would just stand to your feet. Let me just pray. We're going to sing. And we're going to walk into place. I'm just kind of setting the table for his rod and his staff. They come for me. And he sets a table for me in the presence of my enemies. There's so much. There's so much to this. This is not a depressing psalm. This is a psalm of boldness, and this is a psalm of courage, and this is a psalm of victory, and this is a psalm of peace, and this is a psalm to say God's got me, and God's in charge, and God's in control, and even though this took place, I will not fear. Even though this, I will not be afraid. Even though this is a psalm that makes you want to stick your head back and your shoulders back and to say, my God is in charge. I'm going to be okay. We come to this place to own Psalm 23, and I encourage you, read it, reread it. It's 6 verses, and his goodness and his mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in his presence forever. It's incredible, church, to understand the power of Psalm 23. Read it and read it again and meditate on it and get you in, and we will kick this thing again next Sunday. Come on, be here. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We honor you in this place. We love you, Lord Jesus. I pray for truly a boldness to rise up within us in the same way in Elijah, just like us. God, let there be a boldness within us in Jesus' name. Come on, amen.